Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Why Did Jesus Suffer for Us?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you tonight through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Tonight I'd like to look with you at how much does God love you? Let's open up to start tonight with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. This is a prayer Paul prayed for the church there at Ephesus, really for all Christians. He says, I pray that you may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. So what we're looking at tonight is something that actually we're supposed to know, but it's even beyond knowledge. Namely, we can plunge the depths of it, and the deeper we go, it even goes deeper and deeper than that. So we're to know things that are beyond knowledge, and yet we are to know them and know them deeply. The great depth, the power, the breadth, the width, the height, the amazing love of Christ for you. So if we're going to consider how much God really loves you tonight, maybe you haven't considered this so much for a while, you know, yeah, God loves me, but how much and really and truly, how can we estimate this? How can we calculate that? How can we assess it? How can we determine it? Actually, calculate the love of Christ for you. Well, actually, we can do that. Did you know? We do that by considering how much He's willing to suffer to save you. How much is He willing to endure and experience in order to redeem you? How much is He willing to pay to ransom you? Because, you know, whatever you're going to pay for something, that's its price. So let's see what kind of price God puts upon you, how much He loves you. How much is He willing to pay to redeem you? What is He willing to suffer? Let's take a look tonight at the sufferings of Christ with the eye towards showing us His great love. What did Christ suffer for you? Did He love you a little bit? Maybe none at all. Nah. Or maybe a lot? Or did He love you super, super, super much? And does He? Well, consider number one, His great humiliation that He suffered for you. Consider who He is. Who is Jesus Christ? He is God, the Son, through whom all things are made. The scriptures, let's open it up. Let's read here in Psalm 115, we read of God. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. How high is His dwelling place? You know where He is? It's perfectly pure, clean, and marvelous. From where He sits enthroned, He looks forth on all the inhabitants of the earth, and they are grasshoppers before Him. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust on the scales. Behold, He takes up the isles like fine dust. What's an isle? An isle is an island. England is but dust before Him. So high is His place. And what is it like in His home where Jesus came from? What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? We pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So His will is done there. It's 100% pure, loving, clean, good, awesome, the place where He is. And what did He suffer for you? Willing to come down from that place to what kind of a place? Let's open up and read again here in Isaiah 24. What kind of a world we live in, far below Him? We read this. Verse 5 and following, the earth lies polluted under its inhabitants. They've transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for their guilt. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are scorched, and few men are left. The wine mourns, the vine languishes, and all the merry-hearted sigh. Can you imagine this? Going from where he was up there down to a pool of sludge, basically. It's where we live. That is how much he loves you. His great coming down from heaven to earth is his love for you. In fact, you can measure it from how far he came down. You can also measure it on the way up, because the scriptures say, as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Isn't this marvelous? And what kind of an earth is this? Well, we read, Jesus said to his brothers, the world can't hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. So he came down from pure, 100% clean purity into an evil world. One where he had to fight against an adversary, because the devil rules this world. He took Jesus to a high mountain, remember, and said, I'll give you all this authority and all their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. It's the devil's world, at least in a certain sense, an evil world. How much does he love you? Are you considering this right now? He came down because he loves you. All that he suffered so far, and not only so. That's only one point of like 20-some, okay? We're going to keep going here. He took on flesh. Listen, this is the God who is spirit and who is impenetrable, unconquerable, all-knowing, all-powerful. He took on mortal flesh that bleeds. Behold, a woman shall conceive, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And the word became flesh. He dwelt among us full of grace and truth. Consider the cherubim and the seraphim in heaven cover their faces with their wings. So bright is his glory, and he comes down to look like an average Joe. You and me. In fact, we hear of the script. In the scriptures, he had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He didn't even come down to look like Errol Flynn or Cary Grant or any of those people. He was a total average-looking person. From the God of glory down to ordinary plainness, how much does he love you? Are you considering it tonight? Consider next. He gave up immeasurable wealth to become absolutely dirt poor, impoverished for you. This is what he loves you, how he loves you. With what shall I come before the Lord? And bow myself before God on high, says Micah. Shall I come with him with burnt offerings, calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Is God pleased with such things? What's God say? God says, every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle and 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the air, all the birds of the mountains. I own everything. Who's given a gift to me that I should repay him? He owns everything. He created everything. He's altogether rich, 100%, and he came down to be basically 100% poor. Born of a family of a carpenter, born into the family of Mary and Joseph, who were so poor, actually, that when they went to, remember, Jerusalem to offer an offering for Mary's cleansing after her giving birth, they had to go with what the law had provided for those who were not able to even purchase a normal sacrifice. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So he came down to the lowest place on the earth, basically. Bethlehem is right next to the Dead Sea, which is the lowest dry earth on the whole face of the earth. This is how much he loves you. He only had a tunic and a pair of sandals. He even had a money box from which Judas stole the money. He knew and even let it happen. From all things to nothing. I want to ask you, how much does he love you? I mean, would you give up such a thing? This is his great love, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty, you might become rich. And he give you all things he has. How great is his love for you? Consider it tonight. Consider also this. He was willing to become thirsty. And it's just the same God, Jesus, whose spirit hovered over the face of the waters, the whole seas at the beginning of creation. He created all water, and he himself thirsted and parched. We know that he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, and he came near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was with his journey, he was what? Wearied? He sat down beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. It's 12 noon. So this is the God that doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He never is anything but 100% power and alert. He got tired here. He's willing to do that. It's like this is far greater than Superman becoming Clark Kent and giving up his powers. That's just nothing compared to what our Lord did and does for you. Superman gave it up for Lois. Jesus gave it up for you. He became thirsty. He became hungry. He was in the wilderness, 40 days, tempted by the devil. And consider the temptations he was willing to go through for you. I heard this on the radio recently that, we think, Jesus, he can handle temptations. Easy peasy, because he's the king. Well, you know what? When the devil tempts you or me, he's on a leash. God will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But when it came to Jesus, God let the devil go full at him with his entire arsenal. The powers of all darkness were arrayed against him to allure him into sin and to turn from God and his mission. He endured all those things. Why? For love of you. Because he needed to save you. He came to do it. We have not a high priest, friends, who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted in the same way that you are, yet without sin. So he knows what you're going through. He also considered this. He suffered rejection. What did he do when he came here? All he did was good. Peter says he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God was with him to heal, raise the dead. All he did was preach the truth. Who finds any sin against me? He said. And they could charge him with nothing. And yet they rejected him right and left. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. He was despised, it says, rejected by men, as read a moment ago. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. And he not only suffered rejection for you, but he suffered being hunted for you. They hated him. Isn't that amazing, really? He came for nothing but good. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, he read in the synagogue at his hometown. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Well, how would you respond to this? Yay, isn't this great? That's not what they did. They became angry, furious. Their faces became red, and they dragged him to the edge of the hill and seek to throw him off the cliff, to throw God himself off the cliff, who came to save them. Jesus was willing to suffer rejection. Everywhere he went, they tried to stone him. He suffered that. The one who is loved in heaven and adored by the angels was willing to suffer being hated by men and rejected. Why? How much does he love you now? Think about it. Even his family rejected him. We read in John 7, even his brothers did not believe in him. Can you imagine growing up with a family and you got your own brothers and you're God and they even don't believe in you? He has also suffered the misunderstanding by his disciples. This was really tough. Think about this. Peter came to him and said, explain the parable to us. And he's like, are you still without understanding? You don't understand this? He tells another time, he's like, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. They're like, we shouldn't buy bread? He's like, what do I have to do here? He's like, how do you not perceive that I'm not talking about bread? Talking about their teaching. Oh, yeah, okay, his teaching. Now we get it. He's like, oh, he has to endure these things from people. Their misunderstanding, and not only that, but look at what happened when he began to tell the disciples in a very short time, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I'm going to be raised. This is good news, but what does Peter do? It'll never happen to you, Lord. So here is the God before whom angels in heaven go, yes, sir. And here is a dirty mortal fisherman saying no. He had to endure that. Listen, this is the love Jesus had for you. And he kept on going. He even suffered outright betrayal by his friends. He says, you all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, you shall strike the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. And indeed, we know that when Jesus was arrested, after Peter said, hey, it'll never be me. I'm going to be with you the whole way. I'll never deny you. Well, the cock did not crow before three times his best friend, Peter, said, man, I do not know him. I do not know this man. I curse myself. I do not know this man. And we read in the scriptures that when he said that, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine that? The betrayal, the loneliness, the abandonment of his own friends denying him and turning aside from him. But he went forward and he endured all these things. How much does he love you now? Well, he suffered the injustice of a false trial, a kangaroo court. Have you heard of a kangaroo court? That's where it's just set up to look like they're doing righteousness or look like they're keeping the law, but they have no intention of doing so. It's only set up to kill. And so we read that the whole council sought false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. False testimony. Any liars out there? Come forward. We want to kill this man. Give us something. Give us something to go forward and do it with. Finally, the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus answered him, you have said so, but I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. What an awesome moment, huh? Then the high priest tore his robes. He has uttered blasphemy. Why do we still need any more witnesses? You've heard his blasphemy. What's your judgment? Put him to death, they cried. And they spit in his face and struck him. A false trial. Injustice? My goodness, this is the God who is justice, willing to suffer this kangaroo court from wicked murderers and conspirers? Why? For the love of you. And Pilate scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns, put it on his head, arrayed him in a purple robe, and they came up to him saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and they struck him with their hands. Cherubim. You couldn't stand before an angel, frankly, okay? Not to mention a higher angel, not to mention the cherubim, they would never even do anything but cover their eyes before him, the king, and yet these will strike him and mock him as king. He suffered that because he loves you. Suffered to bear even his own cross to that place of his own execution. He had to carry it to Mount Calvary, to the place of the skull in Hebrew called Golgotha. And there he even suffered the nails. Think about that. These nails put into your hand. Let's see if we can do it here. All right. Put that into my hand. Just imagine into his hand, right through his skin, the king. God himself, Jesus crucified. Why? For the love of you, he endured these things. That was the worst pain they could even imagine back then to inflict upon a man. And we see how suffering this was for him in Psalm 22 He cries out, this is his heart, "Be not far from me, God, for trouble is near and there's none to help." How lost, how abandoned that is. He was on the cross. How lonely, how pained. But he endured it because he loves you. Think about that. He thirsted again. "I thirst," and they gave him poison for food. "For my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink," in fulfillment of the scripture. Even the very prisoners next to him mocked him, to one later on believed. And he even had to suffer hanging there, looking at his own mother, crying and weeping over his fate as the blood streamed down and was caked upon his head, and he was gasping for breath, pushing against the nails, and there's his own mother crying, looking at him, suffering. He had to endure that. The most venomous bite that the devil, Satan, the serpentine fangs of that devil could inflict, he inflicted on Christ, throwing all of his power against it. But this was the fulfillment of Genesis 3, where God said to the serpent at the very beginning, to the dragon, to the devil, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed," the Christ. "He," the Christ, "shall bruise," or that is, "pierce your head, O Satan, but you shall pierce his heel." And indeed, he was pierced. Why? Think about the nails. Think about the cross. This is how much he loves you. The very bite of the venom of Satan to destroy him, all the power unleashed against him. At the very last, he suffered, by the way, in all this. Most of all, think about this, the wrath of God. Because he was there, why? To be in our place, to have God mete out and pour out the crushing penalty of his wrath against our sins on his son as a substitute for where you're supposed to be. Jesus says, "I'll take their place," steps in your place, receives the full brunt of the power of the wrath of God against the injustice of our sins. And that just was so crushing and powerful. But remember this, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and with his stripes were healed. For the Lord hath laid upon him the sins, the iniquities of us all, to make satisfaction, expiation, to atone for them, to fulfill justice, and to set you free. I want to ask you again, ponder these things tonight. How much does God really love you? Think about it. And at last he cried, "It is finished." He gave up the ghost, yielded his spirit, and died. He suffered death. He let death conquer him. He yielded himself to it willingly and purposefully, if you will. And he was laid into a dark, stone-cold tomb. They made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he'd done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. And this is the King who created all things, the Righteous One, through whom the world was made. He allowed himself, if you will, to be conquered. I want to ask you, could Jesus have escaped any of these things? Answer, all of them. At what time? Answer, anytime. Don't you think that I can't appeal to my Father and at once he'll send 12 legions of angels? But then how should the scriptures be fulfilled? How should you be saved if I don't go there? But I go there. Why? Love. One word. What held him on that cross, I ask you tonight? Was it the nails that held Jesus on the cross? Was it the will of man and their hatred for him that held him on the cross? Was it the venom and anger of the devil and all his fury that held him on the cross? No, none of those things. There's only one thing that held Jesus on that cross. Love. And that's love for you. The breadth and length and height and depth of it. "Thus it is written," he says, "that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead," and that Repentance and the forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, for the salvation of the world, for you, believing on him, to receive the free gift of all things through him, salvation, the Holy Spirit, the world to come, the kingdom, sonship, heirs of the kingdom, and all things as a gift through his love. For since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who is the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage, to set you at liberty, to break you free, to give you life when you were dead, and to set all things free. And all these things, guess what? He did voluntarily, of his own will. He says, no one takes my life from me. I lay down my life of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This charge I have received from my Father. Again, I ask you, how much, friends, does Jesus love you? How much is he willing to suffer, to endure, to experience in order to save you? How much is he willing to pay to ransom you and buy you back to freedom in himself? Answer, everything. He gave his everything. While we were still weak, at the right time, he died for the ungodly. Maybe you might die for a righteous man, Paul says. But God shows his love for us, his love. And that while we were yet sinners, at that time Christ died for you. And since therefore we're now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For in this is love. Not that we loved God, no. But that God loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. That's what we celebrate tonight. And now I am sure that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the great love of God for you. So on this Good Friday, God, we praise you for Jesus Christ. We praise you for your great love for us. Jesus, we praise you for your great love for us, to save us, to set us at liberty, and to give us eternal life, friends. Eternal life. That's what we're preaching tonight. Eternal life with God the Father who loves you. We praise you, God, forever and ever for love so amazing, so great, so high, so deep, so broad, the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Why Did Jesus Suffer for Us? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, and we're covering the Book of Romans. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.